Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our sermon text this evening is written in Matthew chapter 27, beginning with the 15th verse. Please rise for the reading of the sermon text. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the crowd any one prisoner whom they wanted. And they had then a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew that it was out of envy that they had delivered him up. Besides, while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man, for I have suffered much because of him today in a dream." Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor again said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said, "Let him be crucified." And he said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." And all the people answered, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then he released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. So far our text. Let us pray. These are your words, Holy Father. Sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Please be seated. It was about 3 p.m. The sun shone upon Peter and John as they walked up to the temple. They drew near to the gate, and a man cried out for alms. He had been lame from birth. Peter exclaimed, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Peter grabbed hold of the man's hand, and instantly the man stood up and walked. The people in the temple were filled with wonder and gathered to Peter. Peter then preached to them. In his sermon, Peter accused the crowd. "The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate, when he had decided to release him." This wasn't the main point of his sermon. But tonight, these words are important. He said, "You denied Jesus. You handed him over to Pilate to be crucified, even though Pilate had decided to let him go." Are you surprised to hear Peter say that? Peter's testimony is clear. Pilate had decided in his mind to release Jesus. Pilate did quite a few things on Good Friday, but there's one thing that he didn't do. He didn't do what he decided to do. Instead of letting Jesus go, he let Jesus' enemies crucify Christ. Ever since Pilate is remembered as the man who sentenced the only perfect person in the world to death. What happened? What made Pilate change his mind? And what can we do to prevent doing something similar, like Pilate? You and I can't read minds, but we can read and learn the scripture. All four Gospels explain the interaction between the king of the Jews and the governor of Judea. Only Matthew mentions something that Pilate did before he handed Jesus over to be crucified. To protect his position, to protect his innocence, Pilate washed his hands of self-preservation. What's sad is that it didn't have to be this way. In fact, Pilate had a long list of reasons to release Jesus. When Pilate first met him, Jesus said nothing. The chief priests and elders were thinking up everything and anything to say about him. But Pilate didn't say anything. He remained silent. He didn't plead for mercy. Pilate was amazed. When the two of them were alone together, Jesus did speak with Pilate. And Pilate grew even more amazed. Jesus would say things like, "My kingdom is not of this world. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. You would have no authority over me at all, unless it had been given to you from above." No one spoke to Pilate like that. Normal people don't speak like that. Pilate could tell that Jesus was maybe more than just an ordinary human being. At this point, Pilate was probably a little unsettled. Imagine what he felt like when his message came from his wife. She couldn't wait for him to come home. The message of her dream was clear, unspeakably obvious. Don't have anything to do with that righteous man. If you do, you'll regret it. Pilate wasn't dumb. He didn't get into his position because he was naive and easy to manipulate. He knew what the Jewish leaders were trying to do. And he was also pretty convinced that Jesus was innocent. After weighing all the testimony and examining all the evidence, it should have been an easy case. Pilate should have let Jesus go free, but he didn't. Instead, Pilate wanted to avoid the politics. First, he told the chief priests to judge Jesus according to their own law. That didn't work. He then handed Jesus over to Herod, hoping that the Jewish court would handle the case. That didn't work either. Pilate wanted to protect his position and the innocent at the same time, but he was running out of options. He had a last chance, and the best chance. It was the Passover custom to release a prisoner during the Passover, chosen by the people. Pilate proposed two men: Jesus, the Christ, or Barabbas, a notorious criminal. Barabbas was a bad guy. He was guilty of insurrection and murder. Pilate hoped that he would make anyone else look so good that there wouldn't even be a thought about it. But Pilate's plan backfired on him again. The Jewish leaders convinced the crowd to ask for Barabbas. Pilate must have been stunned. All of his plans failed. These desperate words came out of his mouth. Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ? The crowds called for crucifixion. By then it was too late. A riot had already started. They shouted, "Let him be crucified. Let him be crucified." Pilate was responsible for keeping the peace. He now had a riot on his hands. He needed to do something. He needed to decide. Would I rather do the right thing or do what I think is best for me? Pilate chose himself over Jesus. He sentenced the world's only innocent man to die, while trying to remain his supposed innocence in the process. He took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." Pilate was the law of the land. He was the only person who could authorize Jesus' execution. In spite of his claims, Pilate is guilty of sentencing Jesus to death. It's 2,000 years later that we still confess in our creeds that Jesus suffered and was crucified under Pontius Pilate. It appears that Pilate wasn't a Christian. Protecting his power was more important to him than anything else. We shouldn't be surprised by that. What is surprising and much more troubling is when people who know Jesus and call themselves Christians follow Pilate's example. Inside church, it's so easy to confess our faith and to sing praises, but out there, it's a different story. When we interact with others outside of church, they know who we are. They sometimes ask questions. Sometimes they might even make fun of you. When we find ourselves in these situations, we know that we should say something. But how often have we said nothing? We're Christians. We claim to follow Christ. Jesus declares, "Whoever denies me before others, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." As sinners, there's times when we failed to confess Christ. Pilate didn't do what he should have done on Good Friday, but Jesus also could have come with his own defense. He could have called down thousands of angels to protect him and to kill his enemies. He possessed the divine power to fix what Pilate wasn't able to keep intact. It's good for Christians to praise our Savior for everything he has done to save us. But this evening, let's consider everything that he hasn't done and allowed to be done to him to save us. He allowed his enemies to arrest him and the soldiers to beat him. He allowed a crooked court to convict him and a weak judge to wash his hands of him. He allowed himself to be numbered among the sinners and to fulfill all the Old Testament prophecies about himself to save you. Upon the cross, he paid for your sins. You are forgiven for every time you have failed to acknowledge Christ before others. Tonight, we've been talking about everything that Pilate didn't do. He did do one thing on Good Friday, however, that could be considered positive. he had a sign put on top of the cross, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." We don't exactly know what Pilate meant, or if there's some part of him that wanted to believe that. But you and I do. He is the King. Jesus is our King. Our King rules the entire world, and yet his kingdom is not of this world. His rule is primarily spiritual. He rules in our hearts by creating faith in our hearts by his word. The way Jesus loves us and leads us, motivates us. As his humble, grateful servants, we want to follow him. We gladly seek out opportunities to serve him. As his forgiven children, we no longer want to use hands of self-preservation, but instead hands of service. We pray for his kingdom to come and for his will to be done. At the same time, we look forward to the day when we will reign in heaven with Christ, our Savior. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.